your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Share Institutes for Reproductive Medicine welcome you to HaveABaby.com Live with host Kim Hahn. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the host, guests, and callers. Kim and the doctors from the Share Institutes for Reproductive Medicine cover the questions and concerns couples face when they're trying to have a family, helping couples go from infertility to family. Here's your host, Kim Hahn.
Hi, and welcome to HaveABaby.com Live. Glad to be with you today. And today we are doing a part two of decreased ovarian reserve and treatment options. We did this show of last month, and it was a good show, but we ran out of time. We had so much to talk about. We had four or five callers come in to ask questions about it. So we decided to bring back Dr. Bayrak, who is the attending physician for the Share Institutes of Reproductive Medicine in New York, and we are going to continue our conversation about decreased ovarian reserve. I want to give out the phone number just in case you're out there and you want to ask a question. You may want to call in. You can call 1-866-472-5792, 1-866-472-5792. And please join me in welcoming Dr. Bayrak. Welcome back.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we ran out of time, and this was such a hot topic that we decided to do part two and then also bring you back as well for listeners to call back in and ask their questions, because I think what we're going to do is we're going to kind of recap a little bit for those who didn't hear part one. But I just want to start out by saying, Dr. Bayrak, this is going to happen to all of us, right? Nobody is exempt from decreased ovarian reserve. Is that a correct statement?
That's absolutely correct. All women will go into menopause. In the United States, the average age is 51, which means some women will go into menopause much sooner than that, in the mid-40s or early 40s, and some will continue to have regular cycles until mid-50s. So it is an inevitable process that the number of eggs decreases over time as women go into their reproductive years, and eventually it comes to a point where there are either no eggs left or very small numbers remaining in the ovaries, where the cycles completely stop because there's no longer ovulation. So everybody goes through this. That's exactly right.
Okay, but could you, just real quick, I thought it was great because you gave us a great lesson last time. For people that are listening for the first time, can you go back and tell us how many eggs about we think we have when we're born, what happens by the time we hit puberty, and then even in our 20s, we start decreasing our reserve because obviously we're only born with a finite amount of eggs. Can you kind of walk us through that, the life stage for all of us?
Absolutely. When women are born, the total number of eggs in the ovaries is in a way a set number. Although we don't know the exact number, based on estimations, approximate numbers are about 1 to 1.5 million eggs total in both ovaries. There's always a decline in the number of eggs over the years, that actually number is highest in the fifth month of gestation, while the embryo development during the embryo development and later on into the second trimester, even before birth, the numbers are maximal, about 20 weeks gestation. And from that point on, there's a gradual decrease in the numbers. And at birth, it's about 1.5 million. So over the years, again, the number goes down significantly. And it's about one-third to about a half of that number at the time of puberty. So roughly we say about 500,000 eggs or 400,000 eggs are left in the ovaries at the time of puberty.
And then I don't know that I asked this the last time, but one thing I wondered is what happens to them between when you're born and puberty that we lose half to a third?
Again, we don't know why it happens and in a way how it happens, but we know that it's a programmed event. It is programmed in the genes, and probably on the X chromosome. That is the one that's active. And over time, they undergo a medical term, in a way, I'm going to use now, called apoptosis, which is, in a way, defined as programmed cell death. So these cells are already programmed to, first of all, grow and divide, obviously, in utero while still in the uterus, even being before born. And later on, that process takes place over the years, and they basically just disappear within the ovaries. So that is the process. But again, there are a lot of things that are still poorly understood, and much research is needed in this area. But it's also very difficult to study because from birth to puberty, it is very difficult to obviously sample the ovaries. That would require surgery, and obviously it's an invasive procedure. So physiologically, it is also very difficult to understand what the process is. But it is a disappearance of these cells within the ovary.
Okay, so we've already lost a half, right? And then I guess you lose the remaining between puberty and menopause. But this might happen at a different rate, though, right? For, I want to mention this again, biological age and reproductive age may not necessarily be the same thing. So can you walk us through why that's not the case?
Sure. Actually, that's always the case. Reproductive age is never the same as the chronological age, or the ovarian age, in a way, is never the same. In a way, if you think about it, roughly 1 to 1.5 million eggs at birth and then about 500,000 eggs at puberty and just less than about 500 eggs on average, again, in this country, age 51 when there are no more eggs left. So if you think about average puberty, 10, 12 years of age to about 50, that's roughly about 40, maybe 38, 35, depending, again, on the age of menopause. Over those years, about 500,000 eggs are lost compared to the first 10 to 12 years where, again, another about 500 to about 1 million eggs are lost. It is a little different type of process, we believe, because we have a better way of monitoring that loss in a way. And there are a few studies on this. The loss is primarily that is during the reproductive years due to the recruitment of the best egg. So women ovulate from a single egg every cycle. There are exceptions to this, but almost 99% of the time, there's only one single egg that's released from the ovary, whether it's the right or the left side, doesn't matter. But in order to release that one good egg or the best egg in that particular cycle or month, there are a number of eggs that are growing. So, for example, in the teen years, there may be 15 or 20 eggs that all start growing at the same time right after the period starts. But from those 15 or 20 eggs, only one is recruited, and that is believed to be the best one out of that batch of eggs that are growing. And then even though we're releasing only one egg, a single egg every month, every cycle, so if you think about it, you're releasing 12 eggs in 1 year. There are a number of eggs that are being lost in that process in order to select that one good egg. So this is the main type of loss, in a way, we believe, during the reproductive years. But on top of that, there's again still the apoptosis, which is the programmed disappearance of the eggs, during the reproductive years, on top of the selection process. So it is a combination of the two that decreases the ovarian reserve over years.
Okay, and Dr. Bayrock, you're saying, in the early years, you're probably, trying to grow about 15 in any month to pick the best that will be released. What does it look like when we're 25, 30, 35? Are we producing as many follicles to try to get the best selected egg, or does that go down from about 15?
Yeah, these are, again, approximate numbers. It does go down, and the reason for that is we know this from our in vitro fertilization patients where if you stimulate a patient with hormones in their early 20s, they're going to produce a large number of eggs, 10, 15, 20, 25 mature eggs. If you stimulate a woman in the, let's say, mid-40s, that one is not going to produce as many eggs as the younger individual. So these eggs that we can mature are obviously the ones that have the potential to grow in that particular month. So there is absolutely a direct correlation between the number of eggs that are growing to reach that one good egg and also age. And with the increase in reproductive age, the number of eggs that are growing all together to reach that, again, one good dominant egg that's going to be released significantly changes.
And is it also true that because the body is, you know, when we're younger, always trying to get the best, that as we get older, there isn't, you know, the best is kind of decreasing in its quality?
That's a great question. Again, most likely, that's what we think is happening. There's a process where ovary adjusts the reserve, in a way, based on external effects. For example, if for some reason one ovary is removed, the other ovary that stays in the abdomen, in a way compensates for that loss. And the cycles remain regular. There's ovulation every month. And menopause is going to be just around the same time had the other ovary not been removed. So there is a tremendous mechanism that adjusts itself as women go into the late reproductive years. Also, the ovary compensates by growing less number of eggs every month as the reproductive age increases in order to maintain ovulatory cycles. Because if it does the same thing, what it used to do in the early teen years, into the 20s, 30s, 40s, then the reserve is going to run out much sooner than it
much
will.
Much sooner. Okay, well, we're here today. We're with Dr. Byrock. Again, you can call 1-866-472-5792 if you'd like to ask him a question. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You've been listening to HaveABaby.com Live.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you been searching for an online resource that brings together all of the most current and vital information on infertility causes, diagnosis, and treatment? Welcome to HaveABaby.com, your online infertility resource. Here, you'll find hundreds of pages of articles on topics related to infertility, plus a forum where you can post your questions to infertility experts around the country. But that's not all. HaveABaby.com features profiles of infertility specialists, news, and upcoming events related to infertility, as well as stories from other people that have been through or are going through infertility. HaveABaby.com is a community centered around people just like you. Log on today for exciting information on your latest infertility breakthroughs, including a new procedure that could double your chances of having a baby through IVF, or visit the discussion boards and post your questions for infertility experts around the country. HaveABaby.com, your online infertility resource.
Conceive Magazine is America's first magazine about making babies. In the pages of Conceive, we inspire and inform future moms with comprehensive information about women's health and fertility, as well as various methods of conception. Conceive Magazine offers comfort and emotional support to women contemplating starting or expanding their families by consulting noted professional experts and by sharing the insights and experiences of others who have already begun the journey. In every issue, you'll find the latest news in conception, fertility, and the newest products on the market. Well-balanced information on exercise, nutrition, and healthy lifestyle tips to help you prepare for pregnancy. Real-life success stories from women who have achieved their dream of parenthood, and so much more. To subscribe to Conceive Magazine or to get more information, go to our website, conceiveonline.com, or call us toll-free
at 1-800-758-0770. Conceive Magazine, a must-have resource for women beginning one of life's most important journeys.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to HaveABaby.com Live with host Kim Hahn. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now back to the show. Here's Kim.
Hi, and welcome back. We're talking today about something that is going to happen to all of us. It's called decreased ovarian reserve. But we're really talking about it in terms of what else can affect it besides age? And then we want to get into the treatments, which is something we really didn't get into very much in part one. So welcome back, Dr. Byrock. He is the medical attending physician for the Scheer Institutes of Reproductive Medicine in New York City. And Dr. Byrock, you are also, you know, you deal with this all the time because, you know, pretty much in New York, women are on the later end of having their first child than the national average, which is 25. So this comes up frequently, doesn't this for you?
It does, actually. I would say the majority of my practice is female infertility, for example, and among those patients, I would say about 70% have some type of ovarian reserve issues. So the majority of patients or couples we treat have some type of a compromise in their ovarian reserve.
Okay, so you mentioned that, and I guess that would lead us into be a perfect transition into how can you tell? How does someone know if they have, you know, necessarily a lower than expected ovarian reserve?
In most cases, actually, women would not know because it is asymptomatic, meaning it does not give you any complaints, any symptoms at all. It's not like it's having a cyst in the ovary or some type of an infection where it would have some signs. This is a silent event that occurs to pretty much everybody. It can happen a little bit earlier than it normally would, and that would cause infertility. And that's really, again, asymptomatic, meaning there won't be any signs or symptoms, and the only way to find that out would be to get tested for it. The causes, I believe, was another question of decreased ovarian reserve. Why do some women have decreased ovarian reserve in their younger years? In most cases, it's unknown. We believe that it's genetic due to some genetic alteration, some abnormality probably, again, on the X chromosome. There is a decrease or there is an increased loss of these eggs earlier on. And we oftentimes see patients who come in who are relatively young, in their mid-30s or early 30s, have infertility, and when we do testing, we absolutely don't find any other reason for the infertility. Normal sperm, open fallopian tubes, normal uterus, normal hormones. But when we do more advanced testing, a great number, a great percentage of those patients actually have decreased ovarian reserve. So it is very difficult
to
diagnose it.
Yeah. Do you see this with women that do not take the pill? Because I'm wondering, you know, I've heard so many studies that say, oh, if you take the pill, then, you know, you're kind of not causing that egg to release and your ovaries are getting a break and, you know, you're at less risk if you do take the pill for ovarian cancer. Has there been any correlation to someone who hasn't been on the pill that maybe is just their ovaries are just working?
No, that's not the case. That would have been great, actually, because that would have delayed menopause in a way. But that is that is not the case, unfortunately. Women who take birth control pills or not have pretty much the same fertility outcome. Having said that, there's no long-term information on this. The information from birth control pill studies pretty much are limited to about 5 or 10 year follow-ups in terms of fertility outcome. And most people start in their 20s, and by the time they're 30s, they stop it and they try to conceive. So it is a little bit unknown, but the other way to look around it is that it does not delay the loss of the eggs, because even though the birth control pills prevent ovulation, which is the release of the egg and the development of the mature egg, there is still a loss through that apoptotic process, which was the loss of the eggs. And that's an independent process. So if somebody is not ovulating at all, or if they're ovulating every month, or somebody had one pregnancy versus 10 pregnancies, obviously during pregnancy there's no ovulation.
That's true. That's again, a good point.
Right. So that really does not change the average age of menopause, and it does not really alter fertility potential for the most part.
Okay. So then we were going to talk about what else causes it. So what are some of the other reasons that somebody in their 20s and 30s might experience this?
Absolutely. There are common gynecological non-cancerous, meaning it's not cancer, but it is a significant disease, disorders such as recurrent cysts in the ovaries necessitating multiple surgeries. Pelvic pain that may require surgery and removal of tissue, or an important gynecological disease called endometriosis, which is very common in women, especially in the infertile population, that can decrease the ovarian reserve. And that's a whole other discussion, obviously, but it can decrease the number of eggs and also change the quality of the eggs that are remaining in the ovaries. So endometriosis would be probably the top reason why there is decreased ovarian reserve. And some of the treatment options, which would be either removal of the ovary or removal of the cyst and multiple repeated procedures due to recurrent ovarian cysts. For the most part, we believe that it's related to a genetic alteration in some women that causes decreased ovarian reserve. Others would be obviously surgery, removal of the organ, the ovary, and other things such as infections, and rarely some immunological disorders can cause it. But for the most part, it is very difficult to find a reason for decreased ovarian reserve, unless there is a significant, again, medical disease or surgery or endometriosis associated with it.
Okay, so how do you test it? Is it basically the FSH test that is done on the third day of a cycle that is the best way to test this? And is there a test that can tell you how decreased your reserve is? Or tell us how that works.
Yeah, there are a number of tests that one can do. The basic testing includes the measurement of the FSH, which stands for follicle stimulating hormone. It, in a way, is a hormone that's released in the brain that goes into the ovaries and stimulates the follicles or eggs, to keep it clear. And also the measurement of estradiol hormone in the first couple of days of the period. That would give us an idea about the ovarian reserve. The fact of the matter is FSH and estradiol combined tests are not perfect tests, meaning if the test is normal, that's good in a way, but still doesn't guarantee that the reserve is good. But if it's abnormal, that's really when it's meaningful. So that's one common type of test, probably the most common test that's being done in reproductive medicine today to measure the FSH and estradiol. If one is elevated or both, or either one, doesn't matter, that's associated with decreased ovarian reserve. There are other tests that can be done. There are a number of blood tests that are being developed as we speak, and none of them have really picked up and replaced the FSH and estradiol test. One newer test called Müllerian inhibiting factor, it's a medical term that probably won't stay with anybody today, but that is one advanced test, and it looks promising, and just measuring that level may give us an idea about the quantity, in a way, as well as the quality of eggs remaining in the ovaries. We commonly also do a pelvic ultrasound, an internal vaginal pelvic ultrasound, to look at the ovaries much more closely than just measuring the FSH hormone. We actually combine this information, FSH, estradiol measurement, and also looking at the ovaries with ultrasounds. What we do is we can measure the volume of the ovary that significantly correlates with the ovarian reserve. And also we see these follicles, the antral follicles, what we call, because they're visible on ultrasounds, because not all eggs are visible, obviously, they're microscopic. When we measure these follicles, the number, the size, again, we get information and much more accurate information about one's ovarian reserve.
Okay, is this a huge problem, Dr. Byrick? If somebody, you know, is determined that they are challenged with their ovarian reserve, does this mean that this is going to make it more difficult, or is this something that can be easily remedied? And I know we're going to talk about treatments, but overall, should somebody panic?
No, panic is not good, right?
No, I know.
No panicking, but one has to be conscious about this. One has to know what exactly it means, and one has to be proactive about it. The egg loss or decrease in the ovarian reserve is an inevitable process in life. But when it's accelerated, meaning if this is going on in the late 20s, early 30s, then there is a significant problem. That person may go into menopause earlier. The chance of getting pregnant will decrease significantly. And most importantly, if this is diagnosed, if somebody has decreased ovarian reserve, there is absolutely no time to consider delaying pregnancy. So the bottom line is, once this is diagnosed by any of the tests that we just discussed, one has to be very proactive about it and going for a consultation with a reproductive endocrinologist who would identify and also measure the degree of the loss and determine which treatment would be the best option for that particular couple.
Okay, great. Well, let's take a quick break. If you'd like to call in, it's 1-866-472-5792. And we are going to come, when we come back, we're going to talk about what are the treatments that can be done to overcome low ovarian reserve, especially if it's on the premature side. You've been listening to HaveABaby.com Live, and we'll be right back after the break.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Ever think about the future? Wonder what it'll be like? Ever think about how your decisions today affect your future? The March of Dimes does. We think about a future where all babies are born healthy. We're here to help you get healthy before you get pregnant. Visit www.conceiveonline.com and click on the link for Conceive's preconception health assessment tool in conjunction with the March of Dimes. There you'll find a tool you can use to find out how your health today will affect the health of your future baby. Go ahead, see what the future holds for you.
The Share Institutes for Reproductive Medicine are proud to sponsor HaveABaby.com Live. With 10 centers, 5 satellite offices, and 15 outstanding physicians throughout the country, the Share Institutes make up one of the nation's largest networks of IVF practices. The Share Institutes have roots that run deep in the field of infertility treatment. Founder Dr. Jeffrey Share established the first private IVF practice in the country in 1982 and has been an influential pioneer in the field for 25 years. The Share Institutes are renowned for compassionate, personalized fertility care backed by leading-edge technology and ongoing medical breakthroughs. The Share Institutes for Reproductive Medicine website, HaveABaby.com, is one of the most comprehensive infertility resources on the web today. Log on to HaveABaby.com for more information on the Share Institute's reproductive medicine. HaveABaby.com, your online infertility resource.
Conceive Magazine is America's first magazine about making babies. In the pages of Conceive, we inspire and inform future moms with comprehensive information about women's health and fertility, as well as various methods of conception. Conceive Magazine offers comfort and emotional support to women contemplating starting or expanding their families by consulting noted professional experts and by sharing the insights and experiences of others who have already begun the journey.
In every issue, you'll find the latest news in conception, fertility, and the newest products on the market. Well-balanced information on exercise, nutrition, and healthy lifestyle tips to help you prepare for pregnancy. Real-life success stories from women who have achieved their dream of parenthood, and so much more. To subscribe to Conceive Magazine or to get more information, go to our website, conceiveonline.com, or call us toll-free at 1-800-758-0770. Conceive Magazine, a must-have resource for women beginning one of life's most important journeys.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to HaveABaby.com Live with host Kim Hahn. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now back to the show. Here's Kim.
Hi, and welcome back to HaveABaby.com Live. We're here with Dr. Byrock, who is the attending physician of the New York City office. We're talking about low ovarian reserve, and we're about to get into treatments. But Dr. Byrock, why don't you give everyone the new information about you becoming a medical director at the Scher Institutes and having your own office across the coast?
Well, yes, this is an exciting time for me. I'm transferring to our Los Angeles office to direct that program, which will be effective April 1st. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm a little sad, obviously, because I'm leaving my patients in New York, but they're in good hands. My partner, Dr. Drew Tortoriello, is here full-time, and also Dr. Jeffrey Scher, the founder of the practice, is also currently practicing in New York City. So it is a very exciting time for me, and thanks for allowing me to announce that.
Oh, I think that's great, and I'm sure your new patients in L.A. will be really excited to have you out there.
Thank you so much.
I wonder if I would assume, and I don't know for sure, that L.A. might be a place where you might be dealing with low ovarian reserve, as far as women waiting till they're a little older. But then again, with what's been going on in Hollywood, who knows?
Well, I think the population is very similar in the metropolitan areas because people are obviously more interested in careers, and delaying childbearing is relatively common. So I think the patient population is relatively similar, with some minor, obviously, differences between New York and Los Angeles, and also in other major cities across the country. The population is generally similar, with decreased ovarian reserve being the main problem.
Exactly. Well, lots of luck, and I know we'll have you back on the show, so we'll be able to stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Okay, treatment. If somebody is diagnosed, what can you do?
There are a number of treatment options, the treatment option, again, in a way, depends on also other variables. For example, if there's decreased ovarian reserve and there is tubal disease, if the tubes are blocked, then the treatment will be in vitro fertilization. If there is a significant male factor in fertility, if the sperm parameters are abnormal, that would again be another indication for in vitro fertilization, which is the most aggressive infertility treatment available. But in cases which we should concentrate on would be to exclude those tubal disease cases, and also cases where male infertility is also present on top of the low ovarian reserve issue. So let's take somebody who has only decreased ovarian reserve.
Okay.
It obviously depends on the patient's age. If that person is in their 40s, that means there's absolutely no time left, not even 6 months. That person has to go into in vitro fertilization right away, because that's truly going to give her the only chance that she has. IVF, obviously, most of our listeners probably know about it. It involves hormone injections, growing the eggs to the mature stage, recruiting the eggs first, and then maturing them, then retrieving them, and fertilizing them in the laboratory. embryos are created and transferred back into the uterus. So this is in vitro fertilization treatment, just in a nutshell, I guess. This truly provides the highest pregnancy rate.